Hello guys, Jack here from Jack Makes Happy Hour podcast, and yes, the rumours are true, we're heading back out on tour in May 2024. 68% of the tickets are already sold out, but there are still a few left at Edinburgh, Newcastle, Manchester, Birmingham, Leeds, Cardiff, Sheffield, Nottingham, Bristol, Bury and our home city of Norwich. So, don't waste any time, grab your tickets today and come and watch me, Alfie and Robbie live.
And me.
Mainly me, Alfie and Robbie, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
HappyHourLive.co.uk. See you in May.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Coming up on this episode of Jack Makes Happy Hour, we have our most requested guest ever. We sat down with Joe Weller and had a chat for about 3 hours, and today you're going to hear the first part of that very chat. We spoke about a lot of things, didn't we, Stevie? We spoke about the boxing.
We spoke about Joe's beef with Elliot Crawford.
Yeah, his ghost hunting documentaries.
And somehow he ended up telling us that you inspired internet melts.
Yeah, and maybe because I am an internet melt. I don't know. But it's all coming up in this part one of the big exclusive Happy Hour Joe Weller interview. Enjoy. And come back tomorrow for part two. Would you do it? I don't know, when was the last time you did an internet melt? So I know you did a summer version. Mm. Was that last year?
Yeah, it was last summer.
So would you do another episode of that again?
Honestly, mate, the past 4 episodes have been the most forced videos I've ever made in my life.
Really?
Mate, it's actually mad. Like, whenever people say about like my videos, oh yeah, I've been watching your videos recently, like I'm almost like, don't.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I believe in spirits, 100%.
Elliot called him up and basically just said, I hope you knock Joe out, basically. Mm-hmm. Something along them lines.
Oh, shit's about to go down.
What's up? Why are you beefing Joe?
That's a long tick, bro.
I would have bet my house. I don't have a house, but if I had one, I'd bet it on the fact that that was staged. But clearly, 3 years on now, whatever it is, it wasn't, was it?
No.
What happened?
I had the ability to beat KSI comfortably.
Yeah, my money was on you.
But, mate, look, same. Yeah. My trainer put every penny I paid him on me winning.
Jim is reveling in it, pounding his chest, landing headshot after headshot after headshot. This is the killer instinct that he was talking about.
It's all over.
For me, in terms of like the whole fighting thing, like the toxic nature of it, if you're not truly like a fighter by nature, yeah, mate, it fucks you. Like what it did to my confidence, going through all of that, putting my heart and soul into it, and then me bottling it, that fuck, mate, I was traumatized from it, like fucking straight up. I don't truly know who I am.
Right.
Whereas I used to be so sure.
Yeah. I was like, fuck, this has gone too far. And I remember I made a video about it and I was cussing him up for
you
it.
You were saying it was fake, mate.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And I was literally like, Jack, mate, fucking twat, what are you on about? I literally weren't thinking. I was like, it was at that point that I was thinking, you're sour.
Yeah.
You want to do something sick on YouTube and you're bitter. Mate, you're probably one of the only YouTubers that I watch.
Oh, really? Wow.
Straight up.
Jack Makes Happy Hour. Hello guys, and welcome back to Jack Makes Happy Hour. I'm joined again, as always, by Doody Stevie White.
You
right?
Sounded really sad as you were saying that.
No, I'm just gonna we keep getting comments on YouTube. Where is he? We're two adults going our separate ways. All right, he's doing his YouTube videos and I'm doing this.
But what do you think of him?
He Joe's just stirring the pot already.
Well, I don't know.
Right, we're also joined by Joe Weller.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, not bad.
You are
great to be in London.
You are our most requested guest ever.
Really?
Comments after comments. That and Doody Rhino, basically.
I'd love. Would you ever get Doody Rhino on?
Yeah, he's always welcome on. Whenever. We're still pals.
Yeah.
He's joining the fans.
Yeah. I think Joe's seen the memes and he's seen like people like tweet me all the fucking time asking where he is. He's just, we're just two different people swimming in different lakes, baby. Right, Joe, we always ask our guests the same thing. Oh, he's done his research.
He knows.
Straight in. What is it? What's your go-to
movie? So, I'd go a little bit Tory, right? M&S. It was straight into M&S.
Showing his true colours here.
And we're getting a herb cheese and pickle sandwich.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's what we're going for. And then probably some Morrison's M&S own salt and vinegar crisps.
Okay. What is that? That Chardonnay vinegar?
Yeah, like all of that bollocks. And then probably a grenade protein bar.
Yeah, because you're... Hang on. Well, two snacks...
No, you can get that, can't you?
That's M&S, you do what you
it's
want.
It's M&S.
That's a £10 meal deal as well, so you're allowed that.
No, it isn't.
No, it isn't.
How much
not,
is it?
It's not. It's got to be like, what, £7?
It is expensive.
I don't know. It's a bit extortionate. And then I'd probably get water on top just because,
I
you know.
I did. Yeah, I brought some waters in and then we were going
it's
through the
Evian.
We were going through the Twitter questions and I realised that it wasn't Buxton. What is that? Because I've been a fan of you for years and I've seen the whole Buxton army and stuff, but... But what's the origin story behind that?
Mate, literally, it all started where I was, you know, I used to do FIFA videos.
Right.
Back then. I scored a goal on FIFA and literally had a bottle of Buxton next to me. And I was like, yeah, it's because of the good stuff. It's because, you know, and I blamed it all on this, that I was actually good in a game. And that was literally it. And people like loved it. They were like, yeah, I want to get smashed on Buxton as well. I was like, yeah, fucking so do I. And then we just, it sort of took off. I guess any... of my sort of like catchphrases or, you know, the legitimate and all that shit, it's always just sort of happened accidentally. I've never really gone, you know what, I'm going to start a thing here. Like you with the old brie and honeycomb and all of that. It's sort of, you know, it sort of just took off. So, yeah, that's pretty much where that came from.
You just find a way to monetize these things sometimes.
But that's the thing.
Did you monetize? You had T-shirts once, Stickman T-shirts, didn't you?
Smashed on Buxton.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally, like, all of that took off, but... Like, if I tried to formulate, I guess plan something like that now, I feel like it would be so almost more forced. Whereas then, because it happened so naturally, it was like, it sort of took off. It was very organic.
You can kind of tell when someone's trying to, like, you can't just make a catchphrase, really, can you? Mm. And unless you're that way inclined. But like Stephen Tries, his 0161, like, that was just so organic, so fucking funny. But I'm surprised he hasn't monetized it yet, to be fair. But I'm glad you know about my honeycomb on the brie kind of thing.
It's decent. I like, mate, you're probably one of the only YouTubers that I watch.
Oh, really? Wow.
Straight up. Because, like, there's just that level of authenticity. I feel like, you want to maintain that level of being who you are.
Yeah, for
not
sure.
Not being YouTube Jack or, like, a different Jack or whatever. Like, you are just, you try to be you, and like, that's what I rate, and that's what comes across on camera for me.
Oh, nice one.
So,
I do feel like I fell into the trap for a little while of, like, so... way back when, like, making videos slagging someone off, and then, like, I fell into the trap of, oh, people like this, so I'm just going to do this on steroids sort of thing, like, on times 10. And then you give the people what you think they want, but by doing that, you're going further and further away from what you want to make, do you know what I mean? And then you end up just resorting to, like, form and just doing the same thing over and over again. Like, your most popular series, Internet Melts, like, how'd that come about? Because you've always seen somebody, like, seen, you're quite a friendly character on YouTube, but that is quite like a bit of a Jackmate type thing.
Yeah.
Like,
mate, it was inspired by Jackmate.
Was it?
Straight up. Like, it was.
I can't tell if he's joking.
No, I can't.
No, I'm being deadly serious. So you used to make, like, things everybody hates or whatever, was it? Yeah. I was literally like, right, I'm going to take this, but do it about things I find on the internet.
Wow.
So I was literally like, honestly, mate. And basically, from there, like, that actual first one was I haven't got a video this week. I'm just going to fucking try this.
Yeah.
It wasn't like this is going to be a banging series. This is going to like, nah. It was just, let's give this a go, see what happens. Little 4-minute video.
and just people loved it.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, but it was on paper bullying.
Right.
Like, that's exactly, you know, that's what it was. It was. Yeah. And yeah, there's always been that thing of like, you know, I like building people up and making people feel like they, you know, they mental health and all of that. Mm. And then I've got this series that tears people down.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that sort of like contradicts itself like massively. And yeah, that's always been a thing.
It's a hard one because I guess you are right when you say it's, well, I wouldn't class it as bullying, but I completely get why you would say it is. But it's just, you were doing it in a very harmless kind of way. Like someone spells washing machine wrong and you go washing machine. Yeah. You're not actually going like a 2016 jackmate might have gone, look at this fucking cunt. Rah, 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 rah.
Well, that's the thing. Like back then, like was that 2014, something like that. It was, everything was a lot more tolerated, wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
You could make a joke about things and it be a joke.
Yeah.
Like, whereas now I take the piss out of someone typing something and it's like, oh, you don't know if they've got dyslexia.
Yeah.
You don't know if they've got a condition. I don't know. And yeah, it ends up being a bit more.
It's a hard one, but then where the fuck do you draw the line?
I know.
Do you know what I mean? Like, my most popular video ever is obviously just ripping Zoella's advent calendar. Yeah. But, like, imagine if...
That
like,
is bullying.
Well, hang on. Well, hear it this way, yeah. So imagine if one day it comes out, oh, she's actually on the autistic spectrum, right?
Why are you bullying an autistic kid?
Yeah, they could say, why are you bullying an autistic kid? And I was like, I weren't bullying an autistic kid. Yeah. I was taking the piss
but
out
no,
of a product.
But no, that's different, yeah.
Yeah.
If she was autistic... If she people knew she was autistic before you did that,
that may have made me think twice about doing it. But then
but
I
you're
should,
still
it's
bullying
still a terrible product. Yeah.
Yeah,
I should have still. And now people think that, like, ultimately, I never really gave a shit about it. I just thought it was funny. Yeah? Yeah, and now it's a proper meme. It just comes back time and time again, and people think that I'm still bothered about this calendar. It's like the humor is the fact that I'm still talking about it 3 years later. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So your stuff has almost become like a parody of itself, if that makes sense. Mm. Would you do it? I don't know, when was the last time you did an internet melt? So I know you did a summer version. Mm. Was that last year?
Yeah, it was last summer.
So would you do another episode of that again?
Honestly, mate, the past four episodes have been the most forced videos I've ever made in my life.
Really?
Probably about like total of 20 hours of filming each one.
Fuck.
Fucking hating every minute of it, purely doing it because this is what the people want. Mm. This is Joe Weller. And that video I made like recently,
yeah,
where I was sort of like breaking down and you know, just saying, look, I'm trying to be like how Joe Weller is meant to be rather than being like my actual self. Mate, it's been, yeah, that's what sort of I've been doing over the past like few years, to be honest.
Wow.
Like, it's been quite toxic.
Because when you said that, I texted you the other day and was saying, like, not to lick your ass, but I don't think there's another YouTuber that I've related to more. Mm. Because people often, I hate to bring it back to me again, but, like, people often thought that I was this little, like, rat that was like, oh, I'm going to jump on everything. Mm. And, like I said to you before on the podcast, the reason why Alex isn't on here anymore is because he was... This is like kind of like, especially with you and Waffling, you use it as a bit of like a therapy session in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
You come and you talk about how you feel and you have a laugh with your mates. Mm. Alex, bless him, we're nothing against him, but he'd come on and he'd talk about all these little things that these YouTubers have done. Tana Mojo's done this, Jake Paul's done this. And at first, fair enough, that's what we branded the podcast as.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I realised, actually, I'm not really about that. Like, now, like, I'll take the piss out of YouTubers, but I'm almost memeing myself and memeing the calendar thing. I can't jump on, like, oh, James Charles has just fucked up on a makeup thing. Like, you'll get 2 million views if you do that. People subscribe to my channel because they know that's the kind of stuff I do. So I'm exactly like you. I'm in two minds. If I wanted to now, I could leave here today, make a video about a YouTuber fucking up and bang 1 million views.
Yeah.
But really, I'd prefer just to get Alfie and do a fucking piss take comedy song about KSI. Sure.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? So it's hard.
But does the views get to you?
They do get to me. Mm. And I wish they didn't.
Yeah.
Because
that's exactly where I'm at. Like, you know, like you've just said, in terms of I could do a video titled Internet Melts 10.
Yeah.
I'm getting 1 million views in the quickest time.
Yeah.
And that feeds that, boom, that, like, yes, okay, we're on it. But, yeah, it's doing something that I don't want to do.
Mm.
And it's that sort of constant battle. Like, YouTubers, you know, every established YouTuber you ask, they've probably had that same battle. Mm. But, yeah, I guess I'm at a point now, like yourself, where I'm almost wanting to prioritise my own brain in what I make, because that's the only way I'm going to have like longevity and consistency with it.
Yeah.
Because if it takes so much like mental, you know, forcing it and stuff to get one video out, I feel like I need like fucking 3 weeks to fucking simmer down afterwards.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's not healthy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, especially where video making started as just a pure passion. And to see that passion go away from me and me now resenting the process is horrible.
Yeah.
Like when I look at that.
How much of your videos, or let's say like internet melts, how much of that is... Or that, how much is Joe Weller on screen like Joe Weller off screen?
Waffling.
Really?
Waffling. That's me being like, around my mate, you know, with my mates, just being like a bit of a weirdo.
Yeah.
And I found as I'm getting older, that sort of like the content, say like right now, where it's not like, right, we've got 10 seconds to get this clip and it's got to be all choppy, that I've almost like grown out of that, and it's more like this long form content where we can sit and actually have real conversations and be like our real selves.
Yeah,
that's what I enjoy more.
Right.
And through enjoying it more, like, it's turning out making better content, more like engaging content. Like, people come up to me now and say, I love your podcast. They don't go, I love your videos.
Yeah.
It's like my podcast is sort of like becoming my main thing now.
Yeah. And when people say that to me on a night out, I love that. Like, that's more of a buzz to me than someone going, I love that time you said, like, oh, you done the calendar. I was like, oh, that's not really me. I'd rather you love the podcast and stuff. I get proper a buzz off of that.
It's actually mad. Like, whenever people say about like my videos, oh yeah, I've been watching your videos recently. Like, I'm almost like, don't. Like, genuinely, mate. Like, don't, like. Because, the last good video I felt like I made was about 3 or 4 years ago. Like, in my mind, like that. And I know that sounds weird. Even my last video, mate, like, I look at that and I'm like, not fully like, yeah.
It's really?
Weird, mate. I've seen myself, I've got a bit of a problem.
Wow.
With the whole YouTube thing. It's become very toxic for me.
Sorry, mate. Your last video was the one where you sort of like turned your hometown into like a holiday resort.
Yeah.
I thought that was a sick video, and I thought that was shot really nice.
Yeah.
And, like, as you said, the views aren't, like, a million, like what an internet melts would get.
Mm.
So if that video, say it had banged, got, like, 5 million, would you have a different opinion on it? Would you be sat there thinking, I'm proud of that video?
That's where it's a bit toxic. Yeah, because, like, I probably would have more of a, I would. But at the same time, like, my obsession is, mate, I want to make funny videos as well. I haven't made a funny YouTube video fucking ages.
I disagree though, because I think you only think you're funny when you're playing up to the Joe character stereotype, where I think, as somebody who's watched you for years, and I know Alfie is a big fan of you as well, you're funny with your little mannerisms and stuff. So before you came in today, Alfie was sat there and we were going through some of the questions, and he can do a decent impression of you.
And like, get him in.
It wasn't even like, he didn't even go legitimate or anything like that. Yeah, yeah. It was just, he just went, no, Theo. And he's just done this voice. And it was like, that's like, so when we watch Waffling, what I'm trying to say is, that's when we find you the funniest.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Waffling.
Yeah.
Not Waffling. That's obviously the podcast separate thing. But like, I'm happy with that as it is. I'm talking like videos. Like,
yeah.
I made a funny video where I feel like I'm being 100% authentic.
Right. So do you not find yourself funny then?
On Waffling, I can appreciate, I've done well there. You know, we've made some funny sort of like whatever moments.
Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of like when it's me and the camera and not my mates around, like, it's like I get zapped with energy, mate.
That's a difference of being able to bounce off of someone, but then also you're getting that appreciation straight away. Like, if I say something and make Jack laugh, I know I've done something funny, but your camera's never going to laugh back at you.
But
that's the thing. I used to be able to do it. I used to be able to be on, you know, with that camera on my ones and feel that vibe, whereas now it's like, now I can only really do it with people.
But was that because you were getting all of that appreciation from those Melts videos, but you've started to resent that?
Not even. It wasn't like, oh, I know the comments are going to be whatever. It almost feels like I've grown out of the ability to film solo, whereas when I was younger, I could never film with people.
Right.
If the cameras were rolling right now and I'm like 17 years old, I'm bricking it. I can't get my words out. I can't probably look you in the eye.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And now it's almost like flipped.
Yeah.
Which is like cool because, okay, I'd rather be, you know, start working with other people and grow that sense rather than only film on my own.
Yeah.
But it is a bit frustrating when you're like, how have I gotten older yet gotten worse at an ability that I used to have?
I just think as you've got older, you've matured and you've set better standards for yourself. So like now, if you were to go, for example, wash a machine, you might go, I don't find that funny. Mm. Whereas 17-year-old Joe might have found that funny,
yeah.
And then you accept lesser standards, I think.
Yeah. But at the same time, the difficulty as well is when the viewers, they love that old Weller.
Yeah.
That's what they want.
It's that age-old question, popularity versus integrity. Do you stay true to what you want to do and lose the views, or do you go out there and get the views? What do you think? What do you think you're going to do?
At the moment, I'm literally focused on waffling.
Yeah.
And I literally, my main channel is almost like, that's my money maker.
Yeah.
Because waffling doesn't really turn over anything.
Right.
Whereas like, you know, my main channel, I get quite a lot of brand deals come through. Mm. And, but then again, that's another thing where it's like, mate, people won't stick around if all you do is branded shit.
Yeah, it's a weird one because I think people are more accepting of it now. Like, I think they kind of expect it. So, like, I get monetized all the demonetized all the time. I've got a video going out on the day of recording now that's meant to be monetized, and it's not. And that's got a brand deal in it. Mm. And, like, I don't want to post it, especially now after speaking to you and you saying about it, how it affects the reach. Like,
yeah.
I don't care about the money, the revenue aspect, because there's a brand deal in it anyway. Mm. So I'll earn a good amount anyway.
Yeah.
But when I posted saying, guys, I'm not going to upload this until it gets monetized, Pete, and then I put in brackets at the end, I was like, this isn't about the money. They're like, fuck off. It is about the money. It's like, well, it's not, because I'm getting the brand deal money anyway, but I want to get the reach out there. So I think the proof is in the pudding. I would rather 1 million views and it be demonetized than 300k and it be monetized, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you rather?
Well, yeah, I mean, because essentially your video gets more views on paper when it's more entertaining, right? Mm. People are sharing it, people are all of that. It's like a direct, like, sort of indication of how good the video is.
Mm.
Or is it?
Mm.
Or is it? Or is it that there's a certain type of video that does well on YouTube?
Mm.
Like, yeah, and everyone's got a different opinion. And like you're saying about people, no matter what you write, there are still people saying, fuck off, Jack, you're fucking money-grabbing, like, whatever. Mm. Like, that's the other thing. You're never going to be able to, like, what's the word?
Please everyone.
Please everyone, that's the one. But yeah, YouTube comments overall. And my YouTube audience, like my waffling audience, I know I can visualize who they are.
Yeah.
My main channel, I don't really know who's watching.
That's a good way to put it.
That's so weird.
That is a good way to put
it. Because I look down that lit, like, well, I could be sat here, if I pick up the camera knowing I'm speaking to the waffling audience, boom, I feel comfortable. I feel like I'm talking to my friend.
Mm.
If I pick it up knowing I'm talking to my main channel, something comes over me. I don't feel as like confident in a way with it, which is fucked up. Like,
no, it makes sense because the people that have followed you over to waffling must have been a fan of you to follow you over rather than just a fan of that niche series on your channel.
Mm.
So I reckon there's people that watch me just hoping that I'm going to slag off Zoella again because they've seen that one advent calendar video.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, it's actually more of a pat on the back to me when people like the podcast because we just sit here and talk. So if they're a fan of your podcast, you know they're a fan of you rather than Joe Weller, the performer.
Sort of thing. And I think it's at that point that you do have to appreciate, okay, the quality of how you're connecting to a person, let me rephrase that. So on waffling, the audience is a lot smaller.
Yeah.
But each of those viewers I know are like, they're true fans and they're true supporters and they're, you know, all of that. Whereas you could have, my main channel, which is much bigger, more, you know, subscribers, but feeling like it's a lot more like just face value and they're, you know, they're maybe just after, they only want to watch because they want to laugh at something that they don't actually give a fuck about me.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, you know, realistically, I'm not as, you know, I prefer the idea of connecting people more on a level like I do with waffling than that concept on the main channel.
That's spot on.
Do you think there's any way to have both anyway? Like, you're not Jack, mate, on here.
No.
You're just Jack on here.
Mm.
And I'm not sure, I can't think of any YouTubers really that can be themselves and be massive. Like, KSI's crazy on his channel. But even when he was here, I found him way calmer.
At the same time, on his like second channel now,
he's mellowed out a lot now.
Yeah, on his second channel now, like if he, you know, I've seen him watch a video and not find anything funny.
Yeah,
like, just
we fucking felt that, didn't we? recently.
Yeah, literally. Like, but you can see that he's just a lot more like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah,
but that's because he's hit a point.
Yeah,
and until you hit that point, like you still need that payday. He doesn't. Mm.
Yeah.
He doesn't need YouTube, really.
No.
He's just doing it and he can do what he wants, whereas you're not in that position.
I think, as well, what What I'm trying to say about your podcast, because I listen to your podcast and I really like it, and I listen to True Geordie's podcast and I really like it, and I get on with Brian and I get on with you. I think when you come and you quote with the podcast at the start, I'm like, oh, Buzz, and he likes the podcast, right? I'd much rather you like the podcast than the videos, because that is me, right?
Yeah.
And me and Alfie have this thing where... Now he's come on my channel and we're taking the piss out of people in a more of a comedic way. So like when we went to the fight, the Miami, Jake Paul Gibb, and we tried to kiss Greg Paul, right? And that was my whole video, just trying to kiss Greg Paul. A lot of people didn't get that, right? Yeah. And it's like, we're taking the piss out of him being a creep around girls, right? So so the joke is that we've pushed it to the nth degree, that we've travelled all the way to America to try and kiss this guy. And then this brings us on to my last video where we did a comedy song trying to get into the Sidemen, and I did a whole like serenade to JJ. And it's really weird because he didn't like it, right? I don't know if you saw it, but he watched
his reaction.
And he didn't like it and he binned it off. And this is going to sound like I'm being really bitter. I'm not. I just want to say I fucking love KSI as a content creator, right? He's an inspiration and probably a reason that we're sat here. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know for a fact that I watched him before I did it. He is great. I don't find him funny, right? I don't find him funny. I watch some of his Reddit videos, and some of the stuff he laughs at, I think like a kid would laugh at, right? And I'm not trying to throw him under the bus. I like him. So when he didn't like that video, to me it was a... Well, do you know, I'd much rather you get it, or I'd much rather Robbie Knox get it, or Stevie get it, than that. And that's not me. So I think what I'm trying... I'm kind of lost my train of thought here, but what I'm trying to say is there's people that you can see and respect for different reasons. I've always respected your humour, your personality, whereas I respect JJ's success and the way he's moulded it. So as I've got older, I don't want to cast a large net anymore and get... I'd much rather five yous, like the content, five Robbie Knoxes, five Alfies...
Yeah.
Than...
Well, that's exactly what you were saying about you prefer the audience, technically, to Waffling.
Yeah.
If that was bigger, it'd be great because you know that type of person.
Yeah, if they're getting Waffling, you know they get you.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to say. And that's what I'm kind of saying. People were messaging me about the KSI thing, going, oh, he's mugged you right off. I don't care. It was a comedy song where I was like basically trying to bum the Sidemen. Do you know what I mean? So when people get Happy Hour, when people get Waffling, you know they're the ones.
Yeah.
You know they're the ones that you can relate to. Whereas if you wanted somebody to get a Joe Weller Internet Melts video, you know what joke you've got to kind of write, and you're playing into their hands rather than just being yourself.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Now until May 12th, get up to 30% off personalized jewelry, style, decor, and so many other items mom will love. And if you want her to know you put a ton of thought into her present, use Gift Mode. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can easily find well-crafted, original, and affordable pieces from small shops. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about mom, and Gift Mode instantly gives you curated ideas based on hundreds of personas. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
For real. Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, with that, I think I can't see me doing any more Internet Melts type stuff.
Yeah.
But then it's like, okay, what? Like, I really do want to find something that I am like, boom, this is the YouTube video that I want to make. Because I ain't felt like that, like I say, in about 3 years.
Wow.
Like, where it's, since I did the Exploring series.
Yeah.
That was so organic. I did not have to try, like with Internet Melts, when I first started doing it, didn't have to try. It was just like... this feels like natural, and I know I'm making fire here. Like, I know this is sick.
How did that come about?
What, the Exploring?
Yeah, what was the first one?
Obviously, I meet Elliot in Starbucks.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, at quite a low point, to be fair. And I'm like, mate, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with YouTube. Don't know what videos I want to make, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, hang on. So, because I knew he worked in Starbucks.
Yeah.
You didn't know him before that?
No. He was a fan.
Oh, wow.
And he would write on my cup, Kitty.
and things. And I was like, oh, okay, he knows. And then obviously, you know, we started chatting. It took me on a date. But basically, like,
what did he write his number on the cup? Call me.
No, he wrote his. he did ask me to watch a singing cover that he did.
Oh,
of a Drake song,
right?
And I remember watching it, and thinking, right, okay, there's two things here. Either he's trying to become friends with me so that I promote his shit,
yeah,
or he's just being nice,
yeah.
Anyways, so he then suggested this idea of going to his old primary school to explore it for a video, and I was like, mate, dead vid. What are you on about? Going to a shit primary school.
So at this point, you're good pals now.
Well, at this point, we're still getting to know each other in terms of, like, as mates. Like, he seems safe. He seems funny. Like, we have a laugh and a joke. And it's like, you know, he gets me on a YouTube level in terms of, like, I could just tell, basically, he could see how I was feeling. And he had creative ideas that, you know, let's give it a go.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So, yeah, the exploring was something that I didn't believe in at first. But I thought, let's do it. Got nothing to lose.
Mm.
Obviously... And this went against everything I've done in the past, i.e. filming quite raw.
Yeah.
Because my thing, like I said, off camera, I was like, you know, it's always been very choppy, to the point, editing, you know, fast. And this exploring, he was like, mate, look, trust me, film it really, like, raw. Don't over-edit it, because it makes it more, like, suspense and all of that. And I was like, all right, sick. Anyway, so, yeah, we film it, and it goes well. Like, things happen. It's funny. And it banged. Like, it actually banged. Like, the video banged.
What was the first one?
Exploring that primary school.
Oh, primary school, right.
His old primary school. And it absolutely banged. Everyone's like, please make a series out of it. And, you know, yeah, it got, like, what, 5 mil views, like, very quickly.
Wow. What happened in the video? I can't remember each one from...
Oh, it's like we encountered a horse, and then the building. I think at this point, obviously, exploring videos weren't big on YouTube, so the idea of seeing a creepy abandoned building was, there was a bit of a wow factor about it.
Yeah.
Whereas, obviously, now you do one, and it's like, it's got no whoa, because everyone's fucking rinsed it.
Yeah.
But at that point, yeah, no one had really seen that sort of stuff. So for us to go in a building like that, when it's so, like, fucking, that is nowhere you ever want to go, that was sick. And it got the viewers, like, very engaged. Like, the retention on the video was sick. Like, everyone would watch all the way through.
Were they proper long form bits of content?
Yeah, it'd be like 15 minutes, 10, 15, 20, I think we did one. But so they banged, and then obviously, yeah, we did them as much as we could. And then naturally it sort of got to a point where, right, we've exhausted that now. And
how many did you do?
Must have done about 10.
Fuck.
Must have done about 10.
Was you travelling all up and down the country doing
it? Yeah, mate, yeah.
What was the scariest, like, place to go, or the scariest thing that happened?
Oh, mate, it's probably, like, I mean, some, like, hospitals that are massive. It's videos that didn't even go out. So, like, a lot of them, people always ask, do you fake stuff and things like that? Never. Because, like, I'm just as interested about, like, ghosts and all that stuff as anything. And like I was saying about the whole, you know, I need to do my videos for me, not just to make good content. Like, that's where I had a good balance, because I wasn't pretending to be someone I wasn't. I was just being legit and being real.
And having a laugh.
Yeah, and having a laugh. So it was, you know, it was a good little formula. And yeah, things did happen, like, obviously, with the Ouija board. And, you know, there was one place we went into where we got there, the fire alarm went off. The fire brigade came and were like, yeah, this has never happened.
What, and it's like an abandoned...
So this one wasn't abandoned.
Right.
But the fire alarm went off. They came and were like, yeah, nothing, this has never happened. Nothing's caused this. We do the Ouija board and it spells out fire.
What?
And at this point, like, my stepdad was slightly, he had quite a hard grip on it, but we were like, surely he's not, why would he do this? Like, he would, you know, I had my family there.
Yeah.
For that exact reason, so no one does any, like, bollocks.
Right, so who was it in the video? You?
Me, Crawford, my sister, my mum, and my stepdad.
Right.
And we're doing this Ouija board in this haunted manner.
And you're pretty certain no one would move.
No one would fuck around. And even if you did try and push it, like, if you got five people with their finger on it, like, it would start, you know, where there's pressure from, you know, either side, it would start doing, like...
Spin round.
Yeah, whereas this thing was moving like that. Oh, shit. This thing was moving, like, proper, and it spelled out fire, leave, go. Anyways, in that area of the manor, apparently back in the day, there was a fire that killed people.
Wow.
And that was, like, yeah, that was one of the most, like, mental moments that I've had, like, doing the experience.
See, if I did it with you, or with Stevie, and
I am Stevie.
No, but I was doing it for the listeners because they might have what I was saying to her. But if I was doing it with like one of my mates and that happened, I would like be 99% sure that they were pushing it. But as you say, you were doing it with your family, who like you proper...
as well. Like people say, oh yeah, like oh, apparently it's scientifically proven that Ouija boards are bollocks. But then I'm like, okay. But how did that happen? They, you know, that video that I did, I will never be able to explain that.
Is that the scariest
and as
thing
well,
that's happened?
Oh, fucking hell, something else that happened that really proved it for me. My latest, my most recent ever exploring vid, we set up a bear that has a like alarms in it. So if you touch it or go near it, it goes beep and lights up, right? And we leave it in the most haunted room of this haunted inn.
Right.
And we say like, oh, spirits, like, please grab it, you know, all that bollocks. Anyways... just as we leave the room, shut the door, lock it, fucking goes off for like a prolonged like 8 second period. Obviously we rush in there, the GoPro's got it on camera, like, and at the same time the EMF meter, electromagnetic field meter, like fucking pings off, going like, and that goes off when apparently there's spirits about. So yeah, that was it. And it was like, wow, fuck me, okay. Anyways, we decide, right, this is, you know, we need this to happen again. It needs to happen more than once. So we leave it set up on the bed again, leave, go down to dinner, obviously leave cameras rolling, literally like 25 minutes in, goes off again.
What the fuck?
Only way to go to set this thing off is if you touch it, is if you grab it.
What, so it's a little thing that you had made up, or?
It's made by like ghost hunting people, right. Like especially like, it's put sensors all over the bear, like it's a little cuddly bear.
Yeah.
And they put sensors all over its body. So that if, yeah, anything grabs it from any angle, it goes off. And that, for me, that was like, well, that's it.
What? Yeah, what? How can you explain that?
Yeah, that you
did,
can't.
Did you have to proper touch it, or can you just brush it?
You have to, yeah, you have to.
Like, so a wind wouldn't be able to do
no
it?
No wind. Bear in mind, all the windows are shut. This isn't an abandoned building either. This is just a haunted, active inn that's still operational and that is, like, certified. Like, they are like, yeah, well, yeah. The stories that are at this place are, like... not just told by one person sort of thing. It's like, this is quite an active place.
That is mad.
I don't know what I'd do. Because I'm very much, anytime anything like that happens for me, my brain automatically goes, there's a reason. Like, well, I cannot accept
that's what we
anything.
Were doing. That's what we were doing. We were like, well, this, no, there's got to be something. We tested everything. We got the fucking bear. We, you know, see what was around. I mean, we made sure there was nothing that could interfere with this. And the fact you had the bear and the electromagnetic field meter going off at the same time.
Well, and that was in an inn that room wasn't in use.
No, the room was in use.
Right,
but that was there allegedly one of their most haunted rooms. It was the Elizabethan chamber.
That's mad.
So yeah. I assume you're a heavy believer.
Not a heavy believer. I tried to be very realistic with it. Like if something's bollocks, it's fucking bollocks. And a lot of people. That's the other thing that has like ruined our credibility, because obviously we've never faked anything.
Yeah.
But what has everyone else done? Faked it.
Yeah.
Because they saw, obviously, you know, we started banging views with the exploring bids, and then you got old, like, you know, a lot of the American YouTubers jumping on it and all of that, and they all faked it.
Yeah.
People even went into the mental asylum that we did our thing at and started faking things. And then it just, yeah, that then obviously like ruined any credibility that we sort of had in the eyes of a lot of the audience.
So you never like added anything in turn, no. Like even in terms of like throwing a stone down a corridor or...
Oh, what, mate, see, like, that's the thing, like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Fuck anyone that does that, like I say, it just ruins the credibility of it.
For sure.
Like those people are obviously just doing it to try and bang views, whereas me and Elliot had a genuine interest in wanting to like fucking prove shit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So
that's mad. Yeah. That's mad. Have you ever heard of Harwich Fort?
No.
We had these ghost hunters get in touch, and they took me and Jordan to this fort at night time. They were proper like ghost hunters. That's how they make their money. And we went, and we had a whole night there from like 9 until like 3 in the morning. And the scariest thing that happened was right at the start of the evening. So you walk in, and it's like this courtyard, like this round courtyard, and each courtyard's got these different things in the room. So one will have some like old bunk beds, one will have like some mannequins, which are fucking shit scary at nighttime. Yeah. And I very much went in as like, I don't believe in any of this shit at all. But the weirdest thing was the camera. You remember me telling you about the camera? So that was weird. So this lady... Bear in mind, we've since, like, everything else that happened on that night was bollocks. You could tell that they were trying to fake it and stuff. Yeah. And when we came away, we did a podcast about it, and they basically tried to sue us for, like, fucking them up. But the weirdest thing that happened was she said that sometimes the footage goes a bit funny, and I just had a little Canon G7X. So I was like, how is the footage ever going to go funny? I've filmed on this loads of times. She was like, oh, maybe it's the spirits, not what. I was like, all right, maybe it is, I don't know. And we set up in the middle of this courtyard. We stood one end, and then in the middle is this green electricity box, and it's like slanted up like that. So say it was like, say you're there, the box is like this, right? So yeah. I set the camera up filming us, and it's like slanted up almost at the sky.
Yeah.
So I'm like trying to get it to like point down. Anyway, I go back. I thought it's just a bit of B-roll of just us stood there. So we stood there talking, and it was like getting dusk, so I was feeling a little bit spooked.
Yeah.
And after about 5 minutes, we just hear this smash. I was like, what the fuck? And I look, and my camera's on the floor. But I shit you not, mate, it's fallen over that way. And it's like that. So it's quite windy in there, but the slant is going up, and it's fallen over the slant. So I put it back on the box, and I'm like, well, surely it would go that way, because it was a bit wet as well. Yeah. But how's it going to go that way? And I get behind it, and I'm going, trying to blow it. I can't move it, and there's no way that heavy camera can get over. And it was recording. And it was recording for about 5 minutes. And I thought, any time it's recorded before and the camera stopped, it's kept a bit of footage that was already on there. So I was like, let's see what happens on the camera. I went, and there was nothing on. There was no footage on the whole memory card.
On the whole memory card?
On the whole memory card, mate. Because Jordan had another camera. And you can see in the video, because it's being, I promise you, it's being filmed by this big camera that Robbie Knox had. And I'm like, how can, because the camera had broke. So I was like, how can I play the footage back? I need to see it. And then Fiona goes, Jordan's got the same camera. Put the memory card in. I'm like, oh yeah, obviously. So I take it out. I put it in. I'm like, Jordan, how'd you get this to play on your thing? So it's exactly the same camera. I'm like, don't know how to get it to play. And then I'm like, there's nothing on there. Clips on there. What the fuck? So it's mad. Mm. There's got to be a reason for it.
But this is the thing. There's always that element of just, it's unexplainable, but it's not 100% a ghost.
Mm, yeah.
Like every time it's like, well, there's got to be a reason, you know, and that's, yeah, that's the sort of like, I guess, interest about it, that it is so like, there's got to be something. There's been so much evidence, so many stories. Like, why? Everyone's not just made it up. Do you know what I mean? So,
do you believe in ghosts?
I believe in spirits 100%.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I mean, I don't know how they, like, the whole, like, seeing a ghost. I mean, I don't know about that. But without a doubt, for me, there are spirits probably that can hear us right now. I believe.
That's a strange thought.
I believe that probably all over the gaff. I reckon so.
Really?
Because whenever we've done anything as well, like say like the Ouija board stuff or, you know, contacting whoever, it's not always been necessarily someone that's died in the room that's come through.
Right.
Someone's brother that died as they were being born allegedly came through. Well, and this is the thing, a lot of it has got to be down to trust that someone's not having you on.
Yeah. Because
that does happen, without a doubt. But yeah, basically I've been in the presence of times where people have come through that have no reason to necessarily be in that specific place. But yeah, it makes you think, like, where, if there are spirits, where do they go? Where do they chill out? Like, what is,
you know, they chill out?
Do you know what I mean? So I don't know, but it is interesting.
Yeah, fair. And then you mentioned Crawford. Doesn't make video from one ghost town to another, really. Like, he doesn't make content anymore.
No.
Abandoned YouTube channel. Anyways, do a video, Joe Weller, exploring that. But do you speak to him?
I haven't spoke to him since the incident, obviously, where he rang up KSI.
Yeah, I thought, I will admit,
yep,
back in the day when I was listening to that, so yeah, for anyone doesn't know, this is your mate that you got from Starbucks. He became a YouTuber.
got from Starbucks.
Yeah, he picked him up at Starbucks. He became a YouTuber. You were about to fight KSI in the first boxing match. We'll speak about that in the second half of the show. But Elliot called him up and basically just said, I hope you knock Joe out, basically. Mm-hmm. Something along them lines. I would have bet my house, and I don't have a house, but if I had one, I'd bet it on the fact that was staged. But clearly, 3 years on now, whatever it is, it wasn't, was it?
No.
What happened?
So that was pretty much the climax
of a series of events.
Right.
Basically, I noticed that Elliot that I met in Starbucks, humble, normal guy, as I thought. But yeah, basically over an amount of time of, you know, I don't know whether it be the followers, the success, the attention, I just saw him become someone I didn't like.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Like very cocky, arrogant. Thought that the reason why he was big time was because of him.
Mm.
It's because he was in my video.
Yeah.
And that's not me being an arrogant twat about it, but that is the reason. It's because we had a series that banged and, you know, that exploring series, but it's where the way he started acting like he was the bollocks and, you know, all these chains and smoking weed or all that, you know.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, I don't really want to hang around this guy anymore. Yeah. Like that's, and I don't want to go and up to him and say, mate, you need to change. You need to be this. If that's who he wants to be, fair play, mate.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to come and give you an explanation. I'm just going to sort of do my own thing.
Yeah.
So I think he thought he had a level of confusion on like, okay, why have I sort of ditched him?
Right. Did you just not speak to him as much? Or?
Yeah, I just sort of started, you know, hanging out with different friends sort of thing and doing my own thing.
Because didn't you go to America and do a song with them or something?
Yeah. We did all of that. Like, we did a lot of stuff, mate. And those exploring videos, like, they were the sickest thing. Like, our dynamic on camera was amazing. Like, so good.
Yeah.
You know, we got on really well. And anyone that I tried to make, you know, I've tried to make exploring videos with since then, there's not been the same dynamic as me and him. And that does, like, get to me. Like, I do sort of almost wish, like, fuck, I wish we were just still mates and we still banged, you know, videos out. Whether they're exploring or not, we had a good sort of like chemistry on camera.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, so I obviously start distancing myself and then we were at a nightclub and he had contacted the nightclub to be put like on the door as like special guest.
What? What? Oh my word.
Yeah,
so that's an ego issue.
And I remember seeing that and just being like, mate, what the fuck?
What, you saw it on the
I remember seeing that and I was like, is this a joke? It's got to be real. So it was like, so it was like Cameo featuring Elliot Crawford. And I was like, okay, fair play to him. I think I might go. So basically I went and obviously we get there and like all the attention, he's got a booth that's like elevated and, you know, everyone's around him. We go in there and like it's sort of the crowd goes from there and they sort of come over here.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, bit of a dickhead move. Like I was going purely for that intention. Like I just was.
Yeah.
I wanted to be like, no, mate. Like you need to
remember your roots. Yeah.
Get back down to the real world sort of thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, like, you know, at this point we haven't spoken in a while and all of that. And he sort of was like, oh yeah, mate, come here. Yeah. Come join us. And I was like, no, mate. Like, as in no. So I just sort of didn't really pay attention. I went off and had my night out on the other end of the club. Anyways, he got livid at this. Started on my mate.
He's come over at that night?
No, Lawrence, my friend, walked past their booth at one point. He started on him because he thinks my mate Lawrence is the reason why I've, like, distanced myself. But, then anyways, we leave. And it was following that, I think he was obviously probably smashed or whatever, I don't know, but he calls up KSI and then does what he does.
Fucking hell. Have you heard did you hear the phone call?
No.
So he called him up and I mean, it's been many years since I've heard it back, but he's basically like, Joe's about to fight him. And he's like, I hope you knock him out and stuff like that. And then I think he even says Joe's got too big for his boots. Cause I remember watching it thinking Joe did actually make you though. Like, it, I know that sounds like such an arrogant way to look at it, but they're the facts. Mm. They are the facts. It's like if like you started acting like that with me. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, I always find that quite strange. Whenever I even like hit another 1,000 followers on something, I'll tweet saying thanks to you. I'm just like,
you haven't got to do Jack, every nothing.
Every single follower, another follower, thanks Jack. Yeah.
I remember once I started to do this series called Clickbait, like way before I did the new one, and I was trying to get these guests on, and I asked him, and he was like, this was before you fell out, and he come and picked me up in this new Mercedes and that, and it was like, I got in the car, and he was talking about it, and he's like, blasted this like Drake tune, whatever, and he had all these chains on, and I was just like, mate, like I said outside, I just drive a 2001 or like Toyota Yaris. I was like, this isn't me at all, and I could tell that he thought he was like big time like bigger than KSI almost. So that was fucking, it was weird, but I did think, going back to the call, that it might be staged to try and sell the fight more, which I thought would have been a genius move.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, it does sound genius, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But no, that's the thing. Like, and building up to that fight, like, I, if anything, I should have made more of a sort of, I guess, like marketing sort of strategy in terms of like, after this fight, I need to use what I've, you know, the publicity and everything to propel my career.
Mm.
Whereas instead, all I did is think, I'm only thinking about the fight. I didn't make any videos really on the build up to it.
Mm.
I didn't think about, yeah, any of that. I just wanted to beat KSI and that was it. And yeah, even if I did beat him, I'd then be like, right, what now?
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah.
So just before we get onto the boxing, you mentioned in your latest waffling you'd have Elliot back on your podcast.
Mm.
Just to have a chat.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting. It's weird. It's like, it's one of them ones where who contacts who first.
Yeah, I think you've already put your olive
I
branch
have,
out
but
there.
But as in, like, yeah, I mean, I haven't heard anything back.
No. What's he doing now?
I'm not sure.
No.
I don't know. He looks very different. I mean, I don't know.
He last thing I'll say about it, but I don't think he, because he could have, whether or not you were mates anymore, he could have used that platform and tried to at least run with it a little bit.
I think the abuse was too much.
Yeah, because he did snake you big time. But he did a video where he was just eating an ice cream on a spinning roller coaster, and it was 45 second long video, him just eating an ice cream on a roller coaster, and at the end it was like, sponsored by the ice cream. It was just like, you're just killing your anything, any kind of platform now.
Yeah, no, it was. I think, yeah, like that's what sort of showed itself. Like when we stopped making videos and he just made videos.
Yeah,
it was like, didn't really come out of anything that was like,
boom,
this is worthy of you being a big time YouTuber sort of thing.
Did it ever? Some of the content he was making on his channel, because he was so closely connected to you.
Yeah.
Did it ever embarrass you? Like some of the stuff he was doing, like, or not?
Not embarrass me. Nah, not embarrass me. Like, at the end of the day, he's his own person. He can do what he wants.
Mm.
But, yeah, all I know is probably the reason why he did eventually stop, I feel, is that, mate, everything he posts, like Instagram, YouTube, whatever, it was just snake emoji, snake.
Yeah.
And I think that must have just been toxic. Like,
yeah,
when you feel like literally the world hates me. Like,
yeah,
not just doesn't like me, they fucking hate me. They think I'm a snake. Like, that must be horrible to live with. And that's where I'm like, I'm to a point now where I'm like, mate, I almost want to see, like, is he all right?
Yeah.
Is he all right? Like, after all this time, like, you don't hear anything of him now.
Right.
So it's like, yeah.
That shows you as a bigger man that you've moved on and you want to actually check in on him and stuff like that. So consider this the olive branch then.
Yeah. Get him on happy hour.
Get him on waffling. You need him on waffling first.
Yeah, no, you're right. We'll see what happens.
What we tend to do. We tend to let guests go on other podcasts and then we snake in and get them. Right. Right, I think there we'll go for a break. When we come back, we'll be speaking to Joe about the boxing, because you've probably never spoken about that before.
Never, but...
Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams, so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Free samples, free shipping, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step and into your home too. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hello guys, and welcome back to Jack Makes Happy Hour. Still here with Stevie, still here with Joe. Stevie.
Yeah.
You alright? I like doing that, just putting you right under. It's weird, isn't it?
Well, I never really know what I'm doing here, so yeah. Those moments.
You Have you seen much of Joe's content online?
I saw all the Melt stuff back in the day.
Yeah.
It was quite strange because, as we just said during the break, I know nothing about YouTube. YouTube's not really my kind of thing. Hmm. But back, probably when YouTube first started coming out as quite a big thing and KSI did all of his Welcome to Beast videos,
yeah,
I'd see all of those. And then when your Internet Melt stuff came out, I'd always see those.
Mm.
But now I watch nothing.
I find a lot of people... Sorry to cut you off there. But I find a lot of people that don't even... like YouTube know who you are, like you kind of like that series was so popular I felt like it broke out of like the YouTube world.
But I think because that those videos went viral on Facebook as well, so that was where people who don't go out of their way to go onto YouTube, you're still seeing it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think like at that moment it was like it almost bridged a gap from people that don't even watch YouTube. It gave them like it was because when I started watching YouTubers, they were all gamers, so it was almost like you had to be like a gaming sort of person to watch YouTube. That's what I felt. And I remember putting that series out and people that were like, you definitely aren't a gamer, you definitely don't sit on the internet all day, but you what this connects to you. I felt like that's what that series sort of did. It was sort of like funny for just sort of everyone rather than just like a specific audience.
Yeah,
so,
I think so.
Yeah.
Did you make any money off the Facebook ones? Because I saw a lot of people ripping your content.
Yeah, no, never.
It's mad, isn't it? Like nowadays.
Yeah, and nowadays, like obviously, yeah, there's a lot of money in Facebook. Like, I know people that have made fucking millions.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and people would just rip your videos and just be able to make money off it. Whereas now, I think Facebook have like cracked down on it, and you can only upload content that you either have permission to or that's your own.
Mm. Do you have a Facebook page?
Yeah, mate. And I have a company run it, like just posting. They basically have permission from like loads of viral companies that have like viral videos, and they just fucking churn content out. It's almost just like a passive income. My Facebook is just basically run by another company. Like, I'd recommend it if you want to into it.
That's what I've started doing.
Started doing that as well.
So my mate Tom runs my Facebook page, and at the moment, because it only recently got monetized, at the moment we're just uploading old Jackmate clips, putting them on, and like podcasts, so like Clip with Gervais that we put on, like Banged and Eddie Hearn Banged.
Yeah.
So we're using all of that, but we're now starting to license other YouTubers that are like me. So there's this guy called Gameface Ed, who's like this up and coming YouTuber. He's on like 30k, but I love him. I think he's well funny. So we're licensing his content, putting it on and stuff. Because I know what you mean about just using it as a passive page, but I don't know if that's what I want to do. Yeah. But I'm sure off camera, when you tell me how much money you make, I'll be straight.
I mean, there's potential there. Yeah, if it's, I almost just completely disconnect myself from Facebook, because if I look at it, I have that thing of like integrity. Like, what the fuck am I doing? That's an actual like joke. Why is Joe Weller's Facebook page posting about an Asian lady's fucking I don't know, eating frogs or something? Do you know what I mean? It's a load of bollocks. But at the end of the day, I just go, you know what, that's another just passive avenue of income.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that, as I've gotten older as well, that business element, which I hate, like I hate the business side of it, I'm all about just the creative, but being a bit more business savvy has become more a prominent thing in my mentality, having several avenues of income so that I can then do what I enjoy, like waffling. Because waffling makes no money. And if I only did that, well, no money, it makes some, but not enough to like live, you know, for all of us and all of that. So yeah, that's why I'm staying on it with these brands and doing these, you know, certain videos that I don't really want to do, but it's sort of like,
You have to do them ones that pay the bills as well.
Yeah.
You don't strike me that someone that's genuinely like motivated by money.
Not at all, and that's my problem as well, because like I'll get a big deal through and sometimes I'll be like no, because I won't say no, but I'll be like fuck, because I know on paper I need to take this life-changing amount of money, and that's this gonna like open up a lot of doors in terms of freedom. And that's but my motivation since day one has always been I want to be gassed in what I'm making. I want to know when I'm putting this out, I'm gonna have that feeling of like, this is sick. And I've worked so hard. That's what gets me going, not money. But that's got me into bother before, because you know, after my KSI fight, and I was like, right, I need to take a breather, I need to sort of like get myself together and think about what I truly want to make. Like, when what I want to make, I never really thought of anything. I was continuing to live, go to Bali and all this stuff, and my bank balance was just going down and down. Mate, I got to a point where I barely could afford to live my lifestyle.
Really?
In terms of my house, my car, etc.
Yeah.
Like, it went all the way down.
Wow.
I had to almost rebuild from scratch almost.
What, because you just went uploading and stuff?
Because I wasn't. I was like, look, I hate the idea of making, like, creativity for like, and money really don't...
They clash.
Yeah, massively. If you're doing it for money, that creative freedom and enjoyment ain't really there.
No. It's weird because I relate so much because I've got a brand deal sitting in my inbox right now. And my last three videos have been demonetized, as I say. And they want me and Fiona to play this anime sex game again. So I did it before, a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And they want me to do it, right? So before, it was a hefty check. This time, I'll just say, it's like 16 grand, which for me is a lot of money, right? I don't dabble in that kind of money at all. And they're like, it's got to be a bespoke video. So you don't do anything bar play the game. So it's not even at the start, check out Raid Shadow Legends or check out this. It's you sit there with your fiance as a 27-year-old man and play this anime sex game. And I can't bring myself to do it. I can't bring myself to do it. And luckily, I'm so grateful that I'm in a position right now where I can turn down that kind of money.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that in a big-headed way at all. But I'm thinking, one day if this all goes to shit, and you must have that thought in the back of your mind all the time. Am I going to become irrelevant tomorrow? That's such a big word in the YouTube world, irrelevant.
But that's weird. Already, I feel like I am irrelevant.
Right.
And that's weird. That's where I'm already there.
That's
so now
mad.
That's why now I only focus on like what I enjoy doing, i.e. the waffling.
I was going to say,
and I only do branded videos on my main channel.
Do you think being irrelevant could actually be quite a nice place to be?
It's weird, mate. It's weird because when you've been on top of the game, like when you've been, and I felt like I'm on top when I was prime internet melts. And then when you're not there, that's fucking shit. Like, it just is because you're like, not, oh, the popularity, but where you've felt like you've been making the best stuff and using your potential to the maximum. And then when you feel like I'm now no longer, I don't feel like I'm using my creative potential, that just feels, yeah, it feels, and obviously what comes with that is irrelevancy because you're not making videos. Yeah, that feeling shit. And that's the thing that sort of like hangs over me more than anything.
What defines relevancy to you, though? Is it the views? Is it being in a YouTuber clique?
Nah, like, as in... So, like, when basically, the times I've been, like, my most relevant is when the Exploring series have been banging. Obviously, my fight. But, like, the Exploring series banging, Internet Melts banging. Both making, you know, in their prime, making videos that I enjoy, that people enjoy. That's what I'd say, for me, is relevant.
Right.
Obviously... Yeah, I guess everyone's interpretation is a little different, but...
What do you think the general kind of like YouTuber, I hate using this wanky term, but like the community, the UK YouTubers, what do you think their opinion of you is? Like, do you think they still see you as relevant? Because I 100% still see you as one of the top YouTubers in the UK. I'm buzzing to get you on, both to chat to you, and both because you're going to bang numbers. There's no denying that. Mm. That's how I feel you are. But you doubt yourself, don't you? Like you just sat there and said you almost feel like you're irrelevant. You're our most requested guest ever.
Yeah.
So what's your opinion of what do you think is what's your place in the YouTube community, or have you not got one?
Ah, mate, it's weird. I don't even know. Like I like to think obviously people think I'm quite like authentic and real. Like as in I'm not a wanker.
Yeah.
I mean, I am a wanker, but not at the same time.
Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of knowing like where I am, I think that's right. So I don't truly know who I am.
Right.
Whereas I used to be so sure.
Yeah.
I know who I am off camera, as in when it's just me and my mates and I'm with people and I'm like, I'm very sure of myself there. Mm. But in terms of creatively on YouTube, I ain't got a fucking clue.
Right, I get what you mean.
What videos does Joe Weller make in 2020? Like, what is his style of videos? Fuck knows.
I think you hit a level of success though where it's not so much about the content, so you could post anything and I'll just want to see what you're making because I'm subscribed
to
Joe.
Why do you reckon that is though?
I don't know, but I will agree with you. I don't know what kind of content you make now. If I had to explain to someone what you do, there's not a niche I could put you in.
but I
subscribe for you.
Do you reckon it's because I'm quite open about my ups and downs?
Yeah.
Do you almost feel a bit connected to me?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Because that's what I feel maybe, there's an, There's an element of that, of the, and maybe it is that that connects me to my viewers rather than just like a piece of content. It's more me as a person. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always try and figure out like what am I, if I was to say like break down what am I on YouTube, what do I want to make? I wouldn't know what I write down. And that's where I look at like someone like Logan Paul, who's got a team around him that are like curating this brand. It's almost like if I, like, I've got the potential like Logan Paul has.
Mm.
That's how, in my mind, I'm like, in terms of like, you know, ability, I have that. It's just that I feel like, say, someone like him has got a team. Ideal team that can bring it to life and sort of help him there, whereas I feel a little bit alone sometimes.
Yeah, it's weird. You're so bang on, because me and Alfie have spoken about you in length before, and we agree. Like I think this year, I did that wanky thing where I was like, 2020, I'm going to actually make a go at this.
Yeah,
and I've stayed true to my word. But the one thing that I've done differently is I've built a team. So I've got I had you and another podcast co-host, but away from that, I've like, Fiona's now left her job in retail to work for me. Alfie's left his job in a care home to work for me. And Alfie's a very like-minded person to me. So I feel like now I'm actually building like this team. I'm able to now create better stuff than I've ever created before, and mentally I feel in a much better place with it, because what you said at the start of the show, when you said you couldn't ever make a video if someone was in the room, you'd like cringe, or I was exactly the same. But now, because Alfie's ideas are exactly the same as mine, I can sit and do a Jackmate video with him in the room, because he'll go, you didn't deliver that right, or you need to do this, you need to do that. So I think that would probably be your best guess, is to build a team around you. And now you've got Theo back, and not that he ever went away, but you're doing something more official with Theo all the time, and you've got Luke. You're already starting to build that foundation of people that care about you.
Yeah, for sure. The thing is, I've had Luke and Theo around me for a long time, and they've seen me. I mean, even when we film as a group, they've seen how I still do struggle. It's almost like, even though I've got the team around me and those guys do support me and everyone supports me, I think the thing that's gone a little bit is almost like the passion for YouTube as an entity, like a place for my creativity.
Yeah.
It's almost like
I break out of it.
It's almost like, oh, it's weird, mate. All I know is it is a bit of a mess in my head. Yeah. It just is.
Yeah.
Like, I like doing, I've said like, I like the waffling because it's just chatting like this, but it's not truly creative.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's just me talking.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah, well, maybe open up and get guests on and stuff like that. Because I feel like sometimes when we have strange guests, like we've had Peter Blexley, who was an undercover cop for like 24 years and stuff like that. And when we have people like that on, I find that I'm actually developing a skill in trying to learn how to interview somebody.
Yeah.
So every one of these is a learning curve, because we might have Joe Weller on, then we might have Peter Blexley, then we might have Gervais on, and it's all different. So I think it really does sound wanky, but me watching you as you've done waffling, I already think you're a different person to when you first started, in the terms of like how you open up and how you talk about your mental health and stuff. So I think it's good for you. I think you should keep doing it. But then what the fuck do I know?
I'll definitely keep on with waffling, without a doubt. But it's almost like that does seem like it's my side hustle.
Right,
it doesn't feel like that's my main thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have another fight.
Oh, mate, that's what everyone keeps saying, isn't it?
Well,
not everyone, but it's in, like, people that I speak to, they're like, mate, just do it. But for me, in terms of like the whole fighting thing, what...
Would you have another one?
I don't know, mate. I really don't know, because like, on one hand, I'm like, I have no interest in going through all that shit again.
Right.
Who is there left?
Well, it would be like, obviously, the one that's there is Deji. Like, that would be the thing. But it's like, one minute, I'm just like, I do not want to fight. There is nothing about me that wants to smack anyone in the head. And on top of that, the mental, like the toxic nature of it, if you're not truly like a fighter by nature, mate, it fucks you. Like what it did to my confidence, going through all of that, putting my heart and soul into it, and then me bottling it, that fuck, mate, I was traumatized from it, like fucking straight up.
And, really?
Yeah, like big time. Like that a big reason why I think I lost my confidence on camera.
Wow.
My main channel was,
that makes
was
sense.
Due to that.
That does make sense.
And part of me still thinks, if to this day, is there a little bit of that still there? Like where it's like, I'm not fully able to be myself.
Do you think if you won, you'd be in a different position?
Probably.
Wow.
Mm. And that's where I'm like, I do sometimes think, I'm like, mate, part of me wishes I didn't fucking do it. But then part of me is like, I've grown so much from that.
Yeah.
I fucking showed that, like, yeah, you know, I changed the game. I invented fucking YouTube
boxing.
Well,
you did, yeah.
Do you know
yeah.
what I mean? So, like, you know, there's the two ways to look at it, but, yeah.
Well, let's talk about it, because there's a lot to talk about. Obviously, most people will know the story now. KSI, at the moment, is probably, like, the top YouTube boxer in the scene. Recently, beat Logan Paul last November. Before that, beat you.
Yeah,
didn't he? It was like won the first fights. Well, if not,
it was the second.
Yeah,
so, me and Theo.
Yeah, so go on. How did the first fight, you and Theo? How'd that come about?
So that was just me going, look, I think like subconsciously inspired by Conor McGregor versus Mayweather.
Yeah,
I was like, well, they're crossing over and doing it, so let's do it for a video.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the gym, do it. I win, and then KSI obviously commented on my Instagram of, you know, us mm-hmm. posing, saying, let me fight the winner. So I was just like, right, well, we're doing this. I was like, this could be a way for me. Because at this point was when I was feeling like, I don't really want to do YouTube videos anymore.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is something that I could now go into. I love training, like athlete, all of that.
Mm.
Let's do it properly. Let's do it in an arena and smash it. And at first he didn't want to do it. Like he was just like, oh, I'll do it, but I'll do it against Harry. Cause I wasn't really that relevant at that point.
Right.
He was like, oh, I'll do it against Harry, who was popping.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, no, obviously I made the videos being like, pussy, fucking wanker, like all that classic. And yeah, eventually, obviously, yeah, we do the press conference. Did you see that at Upload?
Yeah.
That was chaos.
Yeah.
Like, that was sick.
At that point, going into that press conference, had it already turned into some genuine beef with you and JJ?
I don't know. Because like obviously, on the stuff on camera, on YouTube, it's a very just like ego, all of that, trying to outdo each other and all that bollocks.
Mm.
But face to face, it was still a little bit like smiley. I think the point when it went sour was at the press conference. I feel like I was winning the crowd. I mean, in our podcast, you know, that me and JJ, we spoke and he said, I could feel that you were winning the crowd.
Right.
And that got to him.
Yeah.
So then obviously he comes out with his mental health statements.
Yeah.
To which I'm like, fucking, you're not saying that shit, mate. Like a lot of this crowd, like I've gone through a lot of things. So yeah, that's when that,
And you were going through a lot of things, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, mate.
So it was like, I that was the moment when, as just a watcher, yeah, I was like, fuck, this has gone too far.
Mm.
And I remember I made a video about it, and I was cussing him up for
it. You were saying it's fake, mate.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And I was literally like, Jack, mate, fucking twat, what are you on about? I literally weren't thinking, I was like, it was at that point that I was thinking, you're sour.
Yeah.
You want to do something sick on YouTube and you're bitter.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And I was like, why?
He filmed the video for your roast at that moment. He had that saved ready to send to you.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get on to that.
No, I
came out and I tweeted about a year after that my opinion on the whole thing changed completely.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think at first, it was not so much, there was probably a bit of that, I'll admit, but I think what it was is me having to play up to, well, I used to always sell myself as the anti-YouTuber.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I did think it was fake, 100%, I did. But I knew if I sat there, because I'm a boxing fan anyway, so I knew if I sat there and was like, this is brilliant, people be like, oh, Jack, like, you're there.
Yeah.
I'm what Kavos is now. Like, and Kavos is like, I'm not a fan of Kavos, obviously, but I thought I had to play up to it. But yeah, you grow and you learn, and I'd love to be involved in something like that. So maybe there was a bit of
that. You were training, or you started training as a result of the boxing, YouTube boxing?
Yeah, I don't know if it was bollocks, but I basically had a call from some guy who works within that, and he was like, look, this fight's coming up, you can get on the undercard. This was for JJ's next one.
Okay.
If you have a bit of a feud. So me and Josh Peters were both called up by this guy and we was both told to start beefing, really. So we started doing it.
Really?
Yeah.
But then and that adds fuel to the whole thing of you thinking it's fake. Because someone's actually telling you
basically
to.
Yeah, I went against everything. Yeah. Went against everything, yeah.
Shit, well. Yeah. I mean, looking at the Logan Paul KSI, the second fight, obviously, you know, Logan was giving it the big one and he sort of like won the press conferences and like won the build up, in my opinion.
The American ones.
Yeah. So I feel like he outdid all, you know, did all of that better than JJ, but I feel like he was just trying, That's the part he wanted to win.
Yeah.
He wanted to be the better entertainer.
Yeah, and he was. He nailed it.
And then you got to the fight, and I think that's when he was on an adrenaline dump.
Yeah.
Because he'd done all that all week. Because in the first KSI Logan fight, he got dominated.
Yeah.
Sat there, tail between his legs, pussy.
Yeah.
And then he wanted to, I think that's the part, because he wants to be the biggest entertainer in the world.
Mm.
That's the bit that he wanted to smash, and he did.
Second time round, he did.
Yeah, yeah. Second time round. And that's why, like, after losing the fight, he literally didn't give a toss, it seemed.
Yeah.
Whereas
if anything,
for me, fucking fucked me. Not because I lost, but because I bottled it.
Right.
And that's the bit that fucked me, because, like, whether it be my driving test, my, like, playing football, playing cricket, I always bottled it growing up.
Did you?
Yeah, I played for Brighton. I wanted to be a professional footballer. I was on track, but because every match, I'd get the ball and just think, oh, shit, shit, oh, shit. My nerves, my anxiety would just rule me. I'd bottle it and fuck up every time.
Wow.
And then to see that happen, then, when that was meant to be the moment that I conquer it, oh, mate, I think that's what destroyed me.
And that set you off on a different tangent to what it could have been.
Yeah.
So do you often think about what could have been the other road?
It's not even like what could have been. I mean, what could have been in the sense of, like, oh, maybe I would have been a bit more, like, at peace with myself.
Mm.
But more of, yeah, I definitely still think back to that night quite a lot.
Why do you think you bottled it? Like, what? No, I'm not saying...
Obviously, it being the biggest moment, but, like, didn't sleep the night before, didn't eat the whole day, threw up just before I went out.
What, were you nervous?
It's like consciously I was able to have a conversation, I was fine, but subconsciously my heart was absolutely doing bits. I was like adrenaline, like, but it naturally, and I think if you ask JJ, he'll say the same in a way, because it is fucking huge.
Yeah.
But he was just able to fully stay composed, whereas my brain fried the second, like, it's weird because up until the point at which we, you know when the ref brings you together and says, like, right, well, I want a clean fight, I was saying to him, like, you're nervous, mate. I'm going to do this. You're nervous as hell. And I thought he looked nervous.
Yeah.
And the second that bell went, mate, I lost all ability to control myself. I hardly remember it. Not because I was getting sparked, but literally because that moment, I literally, yeah. Whereas he was able to stay composed, and that's where I'm like, fucking fair play, because I know how it was in there.
Wow.
Your first boxing match and you're in front of that crowd, everything on the line. Yeah, it's mad.
Oh, that's mad, because I've had times before, nothing on that scale at all, but, like, where I've had to go up on stage and do something, and I'm shitting myself.
Mm.
And then when it comes to the moment, I've just about scraped through.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine feeling like that 50-50 when somebody else is trying to punch you in the head. Like,
no, yeah, it is a weird thing. And I remember when the ref jumped in, I was like, thanks, mate.
Really?
I was like, thank you.
Oh, wow.
Cheers. I was like, thank, get me out of this fucking misery.
Before the fight, did you have any... Could you imagine that you'd lose, or was you certain you were going to win?
It's weird because, like, I remember the press conference the day before, the weigh-in. Yeah, the weigh-in, like, the day before, like, the whole crowd was just Team KSI, like, booing the shit out of me.
Mm.
Horrible. That was
it.
Fucking horrible. I was there, mate, think about it. You've got to get into your boxers and stand in front of them. And, oh, mate, it was literally like, that was horrible because they were booing the shit out of me. I was low-key shaking.
Wow.
And he was so confident and you could feel it.
Mm.
And even though, like, in training, mate, I was doing well. Like, I was doing all right. Like, I wasn't amazing. But, like, I had the ability to beat KSI comfortably.
Yeah, my money was on you.
Like, mate, same.
Yeah.
My trainer put every penny I paid him on me winning. Every penny.
Stuff like that doesn't help, does it?
No, but I didn't know. He didn't tell me. Only afterwards I found out about
it.
But it's the fact, like, mate, like, everyone around me was fucking confident as hell. Mm. Like, I was like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Obviously, not overlooking him, but because I'd put in the work.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah, overall, I just wasn't, it was that, the moment that I wasn't trained
overcome
for. I was trained
moment.
To box,
yeah.
But I wasn't trained for the occasion.
Mm.
And that is so key. Like, all the professionals I've spoken to now, they say the same thing. It's like, yeah, it's that performing in front of the crowd. And JJ himself was like, mate, I'd done a tour before, you know, during my training, I was on stage, I was getting used to that. So that didn't faze me.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, yeah, that would be the thing that I guess now I'd work on. But even now, like, how far I've come since then, like, if I did do another boxing match, maybe I'd be, you know, I'd be able to handle it.
I reckon you should.
And maybe imagine that feeling of me winning.
Yeah. And then it'd be like the underdog story. You've come from the ashes and you've risen.
Do you think that would give you confidence again? Like,
yeah, there'd be an internet melts 11 or 12 or whatever on that.
Straight back to it.
Back onto the internet melts. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. It's weird because, like, I also told myself, well, I remember feeling like whether I win, even if I win today, it's not going to affect me. Like, I'm still going to be at this point of like, what now? Because the ultimate thing, even before the boxing, was that I don't really want to do videos anymore.
Yeah.
So I knew I didn't want to do another boxing match. So I was still going to always be at that point where it's like, I've just had this huge high, and now, yeah. And who knows? I may have been at that thing again where I'm constantly looking back, like, oh, I won that boxing match, and now I've done nothing with it, and now I'm, do you know what I mean? So it may have just ended up being at the same sort of point.
What did you do the night you lost?
So at Domino's.
Right. Okay. Right. So you leave the ring.
Leave the ring. You go straight to the dressing room. Cry my fucking eyes out.
Yeah.
Oh,
did you see JJ backstage?
No.
You didn't see him?
No.
When was the next time you saw him?
Charity match? No, that was before.
A while.
In real life, is it Logan Paul 1?
Oh, wow.
In real life?
Wow. So from the moment that fight was ended, you didn't see him again until months and months. And
yeah.
Wow. Right. So you didn't see him in what? Hotel?
So yeah, so I get back to the hotel, and it's just sort of like, thank fuck, that's all over. Let's go add food with the family, and just sort of like made a laugh of it.
Yeah,
just made a laugh of it, mate.
What were you thinking up here though? Like, regardless of how you were acting, were you thinking of the repercussions? Were you thinking you were going to be a meme? Were you getting many texts from people? Like,
mate, to be honest, the support was the mad thing. Like, everyone, I'd literally, the amount of people that were for Weller seemed to absolutely go through the roof, almost like it felt like more than JJ.
Right.
And I don't know whether it's like, because I came out on the mic when they were obviously, you know, they interviewed the fighters afterwards. I came out on the mic in the ring and I was literally, I didn't pre-plan anything. Obviously, you don't plan to lose.
Yeah.
But I was, I think maybe how I conducted myself there, I was like, fair play, you know, bearing in mind people probably thought I was going to be like a sore loser or something. But I think that won over a lot of people, and I had so many messages about that specific moment. Mm. And yeah, there was a lot of support, a lot of fan accounts made and all of that. And overall, I was in a pole position. I think I then recorded a little 30-second video that I put on my channel just saying, fair play, JJ, like, you won, enjoy it, etc. 7 million views.
Wow.
People supporting me. It was almost like, fuck, I've somehow come out, you know, on top here through losing.
Yeah. And that's what you feel, that's the wave you felt you should have taken? Like, you should have ridden that wave a bit more after? Because you said you kind of had that hiatus, didn't
you?
Yeah,
it was weird because, I remember feeling like I was at a point where I didn't necessarily want to, you know, the whole public eye thing, being famous, all of that really wasn't asked.
Mm.
So that's why I think in the moment I didn't capitalise on it. I think, if anything, I wanted to get away from it, which is why I went to Bali and just went traveling and tried to like just all of that.
How long did you go traveling for? Did you go for a while?
Overall, I mean, Bali was a month, but I think I did like a few different locations, like Egypt.
Wow, what? And you're not uploading during this time?
I think I did an Egypt video about aliens and the pyramids, which got demonetized.
Right.
I reckon there's a little conspiracy in that. Second, aliens are in the title.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
I reckon.
My podcast about aliens.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's weird though, isn't it? Why the fuck do YouTube care about
because
that?
Because they can't let a secret out, mate.
Oh, right.
Aliens are real.
Susan Wozniacki or whatever her name is.
She is an alien.
Oh, Susan. Yeah. Before we move on from the boxing, because obviously you were friends with JJ before it all happened and stuff, and I think you're on okay terms now.
No, mate, we're good now. Like, honestly, after that podcast that we did was so needed.
Yeah, it was lovely, like, to see as
mate,
well, yeah.
Talking through everything, like, he's calm, I'm calm. You can see we've both matured.
For sure.
And that was the nice thing about it. And that was sick for me. Like, that, I needed that. I think, like, deep down, I needed that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so
bit of closure.
It went well. Yeah.
Well, we had JJ on here, didn't we? About a year ago.
Mm.
And he told us a story about you.
In the car park.
Yeah. And I just need to get your opinion, just for the happy hour listeners.
I was livid.
Was you?
Livid.
Was you?
Basically, mate.
Right, so he said that you had a underground car park fight off camera.
Yeah.
How's that?
It wasn't really a fight. Basically, we were driving home from Westfield in Stratford. I was in my Mini Cooper. And basically, he was in his Porsche. So we're at a red light. Okay, I'm in front. And he thinks it's funny
to go up to my car and just slowly try and push it with his car. Like, actually push it. I've got the handbrake on.
Oh, God.
So he's actively, like, driving his Porsche into my Mini Cooper. He doesn't give a fuck. I mean, why is he not caring? It's probably doing more damage to his car. But obviously, I'm fucking livid. I'm like, you think you can sort of just take the piss or whatever? I don't know. I was confused. Like, why are you doing this?
Yeah. The fight isn't on the cards at this point, is it?
No.
Right.
But I think this is the thing. There's always been that little sort of like alpha battle.
Yeah.
Between whenever me and JJ have filmed or whatever, there's that, you know. Yeah. So that, I think that's always there. It was banter.
Yeah.
It wasn't banter.
Yeah.
So anyways, he does it again at the next red light. And then we get to the car park. And I can't remember who I was in my car with, but I was like, the second we get back, I'm going for him. Classic year eight Weller was coming back, mate. I thought I was like, I'm going to do him. So we get out and I literally just go up to him. I just floor him. That's all it is. I literally just grab him and just shove him to the floor. Did I do any strikes? I don't think I did it.
It's like you're having flashbacks to Nam.
I don't know if I did any strikes, but I know I put him to the ground and that was it. And that's all that was. Yeah.
He, right. He did say you won. So yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, he said, yeah, you went, who won that one? He went, Joe did.
But yeah, it wasn't really a fight, more of just like, fucking don't.
Yeah.
I thought he said something about some girls.
Oh, mate, but that's something that totally got blown out of proportion based on how he worded it in a diss track, I believe.
Right.
But the word on the street is that he got with a girl that I fancied, and really it was just the girl that was in Cristiano Ronaldo picking up girls, that video I did.
Oh, right.
It was one of the girls that obviously I kissed in that video that's from my local area. And I think they had an entanglement. So yeah, they had that. That was it. It was at a gaming event. We were all staying over in the same hotel. And in the morning, when he came into my room after doing the deed, it was a threesome, wasn't it?
That is what he said.
So basically, yeah, okay, it's with this other girl that's from my place. They're gonna hate it. I'm really sorry, I am. But when JJ comes in, I say to like Calfreezy and that, like, I'm like, oh, when he comes in, I'm gonna like pretend to like be angry. I'm like, I'm gonna start on him. And literally for like what lasted about 2 seconds, I got up and was like, you fucking, what do you think you're doing? And then I was like, no, I'm joking. That's all that was. But I was like, I'm joking, mate. I don't give a shit.
How'd that shit even get out?
But then when he started doing a diss track on me for our boxing, he was like, yeah, I slept with your main chick. He was like, wait, what? Well, no, you didn't.
Some girl from the Ronaldo video.
Yeah, that's all that really was.
Fair enough. What's your opinion on like the side bend and that now? Are you cool with them all?
Because I've always been cool with him.
I noticed there was that clip going around, that bit of beef with you and Bazinga
That was a bit like, cool, mate. Like, I went up to him and was like, obviously, you know, little interview. And he deferred. He was like, no, not now, mate.
Mm.
I go around the corner. He's doing an interview for someone else.
Yeah.
And I just obviously think, like, well, that's fucking tosser. You know what I mean?
Have you seen that clip? It's so funny because Ethan's doing this interview for this boxing channel and Joe comes straight around the corner. He goes, oh, you didn't want to, while he's doing the interview, you didn't want to give me an interview, but you'll do one with bloody Boxing Daily or whatever, and whatever it was. And then as he walks off, he goes, tosser. But on the actual stream, you can just see Joe in the corner just do that. It actually came up on the stream. It was so funny. It was so funny. Because I think that was the first time I'd met you, like, in person.
Yeah, no, it was.
And I was just smashed.
You were wanking.
And I was all sweaty in that shirt. And I put up the... Did you see it? I put up the picture the next day because I had a loose tie on. I said it looked like I was just got out of court after trying to get possession of Alex, who was my kid. I don't know if you saw it.
But basically, to round it off, yeah, people thought that me and Ethan had beef, whereas we didn't have beef. I think he did actually comment on that video though, and then deleted it.
Oh, right.
Because I think people were commenting saying, "Oh, Ethan's a wanker. Ethan's this," which I was like, "Oh shit!" You know, I don't want to, send people on him.
Yeah,
but I think that may have
caused a little bit of upset. I don't know. But overall, with the Sidemen, I'm absolutely fine with them. And I believe that they are absolutely fine with me.
Yeah, like, apart from Vic Starr, because obviously when he was on, he was saying that shit about you.
Yeah,
what?
That was awkward.
He was just saying that he could knock you out one punch and stuff.
Really? Should I tell you a story about Vic Starr?
Oh, come on.
No, mate, he got mugged and I fucking was trying to back him.
Wow.
So basically, we were on holiday in Napa.
Yeah.
With the boys.
Classic.
Oh, no, that was awful because JJ paid for that.
Fucking hell.
Like, he took us all on holiday and then there I am, a year later, started on him.
Wow, yeah, but...
And that was where... I remember thinking, oh, shit, that's a bit dodgy. But anyway, so we're on this holiday and Vic has got his, like, iPhone 57 out. All I knew is, at the time, that's the latest model.
Yeah.
Anyways, so he's got a... You know, he's cutting about. I'm with him, because he loves house music. I was like, he is a seshed. But I never would have thought it. Yeah. I never would have thought it. But he has his phone out, and these two guys come over, and they're like, "Wait, mate, what's the time?"
Oh, God.
Oh, that one, mate. Obviously, at that point, I didn't even think about it, because I was pretty fucked.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And anyways, yeah, what's the time, mate? Next thing you know, fucking... And then this guy's darting. He's gone. He's off. And Vic, oh, bless him. He's like, no, come back. And then I'm just like, fuck this shit. And I'm like, I try and run. Both of us try and run. The guy gets away and he's just stolen Vic's phone. But on that holiday, I really realised he's a solid bloke.
Yeah.
Vic Starr. So, yeah, I felt really bad for him.
It's funny. Obviously, he didn't say
it. Yeah, I was going to say, I assume you know he said nothing about you.
Yeah, knocking you out.
Jack's just being a prick.
Oh, okay. Oh, there we go.
When we met Vic Starr, it's funny because he's a bit of a... Like, I'm surprised at how much of a, like, bit of a geezer he is. Like, because when you see him online, he's playing, like, Minecraft or getting, like, a 75 kill streak on COD.
Yep.
Alfie was like, oh, I bet Vic is absolutely lovely. I bet he's so sweet. And I was like, yeah, I think he's nice, but we bumped into him at the fight. And Alfie was a shock because we went up to him. We was like, you all right, mate? And he's like, tilt his head back. And he's like, yeah, what are you saying? You're right. It's just like, this is Vic Starr. Like, he's acting like a doorman or something. Yeah. It's mad. Interesting.
I mean, yeah. Nah, I mean, I'd love to know, like, what does he... Does he have a missus? Is he a player? Like, what YouTubers do, you know, get about which ones are girlfriends?
That's what I found interesting since doing this podcast, because we've had loads of guests on.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's really interesting seeing what they're like in person, because some of them are exactly like how they come across, and then some are completely
you
different.
You get a surprise from quite a few of them.
Yeah.
Like, well, like who?
I thought Bazinga was completely different than I expected. Because I watched a couple of his videos before he came in, and I just didn't...
I didn't
like it at all. And he was just lovely.
I really like him. I think he's sound. I think out of the Sidemen, the ones I've met, I think he's my favourite. And I see what he means, though. Online, I think Ethan does put on a bit of a, like a...
I watched one of his videos. He's just jumping in front of the camera.
Gun fingers and stuff. And it's like,
you're quite cool.
I'm not really a gun finger kind of guy.
I don't think he is.
No, but he's like, yo, got that.
Like a rapper.
Yeah.
But that is how he acts, at least in the video I watched. And then he came here and he was just, completely normal and nice.
Mm.
But most people are when they come here. I haven't thought of anyone that's been a bit like, what the fuck is that?
I would love, I always say...
What the fuck is that? Until today.
I would love to do a better podcast with Simon, because I always say that he wasn't the worst guest, but he sat on the fence, like, constantly. Yeah. So he'd just done a video, like, slagging off commentary channels, and he'd got a lot of backlash from that. So I was like, come on the podcast, we'll talk about it. And I asked him, and he was just like, they're all right. And it was just like very middle of the road. So I would love to get him
an
on.
An honest interview.
Yeah, get him on and be open.
But. So, Weber, on that point of obviously commentary channels, well, and I'm turning into my podcast now, asking you the question.
Yeah, do it.
But obviously, you did your roast video.
Yeah.
Now, what like went through your head when you first watched my clip?
Right, so I had got Alfie and Fiona to watch all of them before I watched them. Usually, like, I'd probably say that, oh, I'm not watching them, and then I watch them, but I 100% didn't.
Mm.
And I went, are there any that's really bad? And they picked two out. So they went, Josh Peters one, because like we copied his video and he's mugging me off for it. And when I uploaded that video, I was like, so Alfie, is this a bit too similar to Josh's? He's like, no, that's fine. So I was like, okay. So when he mentioned it, I was like, oh, that's a dagger in the heart.
Yep.
But then they went, and Joe Weller's one. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, what has he said? Because I knew all the other people in that, I think, I probably knew better because I'd only met you once.
Yeah.
So I was like, what? what you're not going anything off my content. Like, you're going, I knew it was going to be deep. And then when I watched it, like, my reaction was real. I was obviously, I'm hyping it up a bit for the video, but yeah. I was just like, fuck, that come from the heart. Like, that came from deep down in your esophagus.
After,
like,
he finished filming it, you'd sent me the clip of what he did and just went, I think Weller actually hates me. I was just like, oh, yeah, there's nothing I could have said. I was like,
yeah,
it looks like he does.
Go on, then. How real was that?
No, I was just basically, from the Jackmate that I watched back in the day,
yeah,
that I remember, like, any point someone would fuck up,
yeah,
and you would jump on it. Now, obviously, you've said that a lot of that may have been to do with playing up to the Jackmate character, etc. But I remember I've had a thought before of, like, people that aren't happy with themselves often project that onto others, you know, attack others, you know, and all of that. So that's why I thought, okay, how can I roast this guy and, like, actually make it a solid roast?
Yeah,
I'm gonna go just down that avenue.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Just see.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, do you think, you know, what I was saying made any sort of sense?
Yeah, 100%.
In terms of, in the past, even now, I don't know, it does any of it, like, hit reality?
Yeah, 100%, that used to be me.
Yeah.
But now I'm so much more comfortable with who I am.
Yeah.
Like, that. Like I said, like, the only jokes about other YouTubers I make now are just memes of myself. Mm. So that calendar, I will say now, I don't give a shit. It's a funny meme now. Mm. Ollie White merch, I don't care. It was I was 3 years younger than I am now. Like, I still think, like, JSF2's a wanker and stuff like that. There's still wankers out there.
I'm not
now going, oh, sorry to everyone. But I'm happy on YouTube. I've got a following. I like doing this. I don't really give a shit if other people fuck up. Mm. That's not to say that if somebody does something in the future that I really disagree with, I'm not going to articulate my opinion online and verbalise. I might do, but I think it's just now when somebody fucks up, I'm like, okay, do I care about this? Does it affect me? No, I'll just carry on.
Yeah, because I remember back in the day, like, there was something I did. I think I said in a video, I was at, like, the Joe Sugg Casper Lee, like, film launch. And the security were like, oh, are you a fan or a YouTuber? And I was like, what? I'm not a fan, I'm a YouTuber, or something like that. And I said that in a video, and you made a video about it, or part of a video, saying, oh, Joe Weller thinks he's like, oh, it's awful to be a fan. He thinks he's above being a fan, or something like that. And I remember watching, I was like, mate, like, really?
Wow.
Yeah, I remember. And that must, I remember there were quite a few times where I remember thinking, like, this kid is literally just, he must have been bullied at school or something, or just a loser.
Yeah.
And now he's taking it out on everyone else who has any sense of, like, popularity.
Wow.
That's how it felt.
I think that might have an element of truth in it, because when people say that, it's like, oh, I've definitely been jealous of you in the past. 100%. When people say you're jealous of Alfie and Ollie, never have I been jealous of that, right? Because they've never made the content that I've wanted to make. Yeah. Whereas I've probably seen you take a bit of inspiration from my content, make an internet melt, and then hit a level I've never hit before. So there was probably a part of me in my room going, oh, fuck this guy, thinks he's too big. Like, I'd probably message you, you'd probably aired me, and then I've gone, oh, fuck this guy, we were in Project 6.
What was that?
Yeah, so I think back then, there's like, I would have done stuff and not really thought about the repercussions. Like, you've remembered that. I don't remember that, but I'm not saying it didn't happen. I quite believe it, right? But I wouldn't have thought of how long that'll stay with you for. So when I knew that you didn't like me for a long time, I knew that. I think I'd heard bits here and there and stuff like that.
It was more of just I thought your mentality was not a positive one.
For sure.
I think that's what it was more than anything. I was like, this guy's negative vibes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I think. Obviously, now I think completely different.
Yeah.
I think you're proper, like, decent, genuine, honest, positive guy.
Yeah.
And contribute positively to the platform.
Right.
But off camera as well, because also, that's another thing. When people are like, oh, you're a great YouTuber. Nah, call me a good person.
Yeah,
that's what I
want
to be.
Yeah. And that's people, why when me and Alfie first become friends, and he was saying about how much he liked your videos, I will say now, like, I put that tweet out about you the other day. Mm. Like, I'm 27 now. I don't care if people go, oh, you're kissing his ass, any of that. I'll give my honest... I've had my years given the negative opinions,
yeah,
so now I'm going to put the good opinions, and I could always tell tell from the stuff you were saying that I relate to that. I was like, I know we would get on. Like, then I've forgotten about the time when I slagged you off in a video, or I've done this, or I've done that. So it's weird how them things come back around. And that's why I just want to say now, Alfie Days, just hang out.
I feel like I'm sat in a...
No chance.
I feel like I'm sat in a therapy session. It's really strange.
A lot of this podcast... my podcast... I mean, obviously, this isn't my podcast, but whenever I'm involved in one, they often turn into therapy sessions.
Yeah.
And it's weird how it does.
It's quite nice.
I mean, it's just unusual. It is therapeutic. But, I mean, I love it. I love talking like this.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's like good. We've got about 15 minutes left, so
really?
I think,
it's, can't go a bit longer?
We could probably can go a bit longer, but
we'll have to change the memory card.
We'll see how we go. But first guest that actually wants to do longer in this hot room. All right, change
shall
it
I quickly
now.
Quickly double check at least?
Yeah, all right, we're going to swap the memory card out, and we'll be back after this.
Jackmate's Happy Hour.
This was a Stakhanov production.